This is Darren Kuhn with the Masculine Journey podcast, where we search the ancient paths to find ways that God brings light into a dark world and helps set men free from the struggles that we all face on a day-to-day basis. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
So tell me, who is the favorite speaker you've ever heard speak of all time? You hear this guy or gal, you walk out like, wow, I didn't pay enough to hear that inspiring message. Well, guess what? We got that person on the phone, on the line right now, on the show, on Truth Talk. I'm Stu Epperson, and this guy not only speaks all over the country, 100 times a year in some cases, he also has written some books, tremendous books. He also has some fascinating stories, and I'll tell you, the name of this book will tell you a lot, View from a Hearse. And anyone that can bring humor into situations around funerals and dying and bereavement is, you know, is someone that's got high marks in my book. And the more I read this man's books, the more I've talked to him, I've got to know his son through social media, I've just been so encouraged. And I tell you, long overdue having this guy on the radio show, Bruce Goddard. Welcome to Truth Talk, sir.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be anywhere, my friend. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's just really good to have you. And it's so funny. This is a complete social media encounter, how we met, because your son is like a social media guru, Luke Goddard. He's hilarious. And I met him, a good friend of my daughter's, pointed me to the page, and we got connected. And I tell you what, the more I watch him, the more I learn where he got it from. I know I learned that the what does that say? The tree doesn't fall far from the acorn. How's that go?
He is way past from anything I've ever done. I can tell you, he's in his own world.
Well, funny. But the neat thing, the underlying thing I see in there's a theme in the message in the legacy of the Goddard family, and that is pointing people to God, but doing it through all kinds of different ways, through stories, through relationships. And it all started in Reynolds, Georgia. Now, the two books in front of me, first one's called A View from a Hearse. That's your first book, and there you are standing in front of a hearse with the Goddard Funeral Home name on this well-shined, dapper hearse. You're in a suit, and the subtitle of the book is Lighten Up. And then your sequel, I guess you'd say it, is called The Legacy of Ulan Brown, which is really a fascinating story. I have both books in my hand. Both are personally autographed by the author, and I'm talking to the author right now. So start out by telling us, who is Bruce Goddard?
Boy, that's an interesting question. I am I was born at the right time, at the right place, by the right parents, and it's simply by the grace of God. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't choose my parents. I didn't choose where I grew up. I really almost didn't choose my profession. God did it, and he extended his grace to me, and I've had a wonderful run. I'm almost 66 years old, so I've been around a bush a time or two, but I've had a wonderful situation. I've been in the funeral business. I'm a fourth generation funeral director, and I see life a little bit differently than most people. Most people deal with death when they're impacted by it. I get to deal with death every day of my life, even now in a bigger way as I run funeral homes across the country. But growing up in this little small town, I began to realize that I see life in a different way because it is short, and we really do need to lighten up, and we take ourselves way too seriously. And I'm a regular guy. I'm an undertaker from Reynolds, Georgia, who talks Southern and loves to go up north and talk to people because they look at me funny.
And now they're listening to you funny, right, on this special broadcast. Hey, so you were just a little guy, and suddenly you find yourself, there's the Goddard family store, and then in the back there is the Goddard family funeral home. And you find yourself packing shelves. The next thing you know, you find yourself embalming or in the back of a hearse, and you're or going with your daddy to talk to a family. What was that like as a little guy jumping into the family business? I mean, you were dying to get into that, huh?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that happened. The you know, watching my dad as a kid go into these places that where he knew everybody and everybody knew him, everybody loved him, and I was a kid, and he would take me from 13 years old. I started going with him on death calls, and I literally was worried if I could pick up my side of the stretcher when we went out. But I'd watch him go in these situations, and I would see people's head lift up a little bit because he was there, and he knew what he was doing. And I as an early age, I knew I wanted to do what my daddy was doing. I'm never away from there. I went to the University of Georgia, and I knew when I got through, I was going to mortuary school because I want to come back and do what my daddy was doing. And I had a opportunity to do that. But yeah, when 13 years old, you probably read in my book, and the first death call I went on, it was quite a story. I don't know if you remember that one, do you?
Yeah, I do. And goodness, I mean, there are just so, and this is what I like about your book. These are quick, pithy stories. I mean, I flip the page and there's another chapter. And I really like that because I don't have a long attention span. So I actually read your book quicker than I read a lot of books, but also because it was compelling. But tell us what it was like. There you are on your first, there you are thrown right into the fire with, you know, gathering the body. You went in on one body and you went to start getting them together, and then he jumped up in that house.
Yeah.
He
was. Yeah. That's literally the first death call I went
that
on.
That was the first one. Okay.
Yeah. And I went in and, Daddy, we rode the stretcher up this big wraparound front porch. We were out in the country, people on the porch, people in the yard. You know how they do, people bringing food and tater salad and fried chicken to the house and all that stuff going on. And we rolled up to the door, and Daddy said, son, you take the stretcher on in. The man's in there. I'm going to go talk to this family. So I go in and rolled the stretcher up next to the bed, and I'm watching him, and all of a sudden I looked down and I thought I saw him move, and I backed up and I got myself together. He's back up to the bed, and I looked down, and all of a sudden the man reached up and scratched his nose, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't know what's going on here, but we got problems. I can tell you that. And I went to go get Dad, and he was coming in as I was going to get him. I said, Daddy, we got a problem. He said, what's the problem? I said, Dad, this man's not dead. And Daddy looked across the room. The man that was dead was in a chair on the other side of the room. I was over there with his invalid father laying in the bed. So I learned quickly that some funny things can happen in the most serious situations. Boy, I got more stories than you can shake a stick at like that.
Wow.
And but that it's a wonder I stayed in the business after that, that's for sure.
Now, all of these stories are in his book, View from a Hearse, subtitle Lighten Up, by the author Bruce Goddard, donned in his nice suit, leaning casually in a beautiful sunlight against the Goddard Funeral Home hearse. And then his sequel is The Legacy of Ulan Brown, where you tell more stories. And I just got to hear, you got to tell everybody about this sweet lady who kind of took care of you guys, and y'all ended up taking care of her and her family. Sweet lady in your home, can make some amazing food, but she had to answer that telephone, and because you had one telephone, and if you missed a call, it could be trouble, right?
Oh, there's no question about it. We were in bondage to the telephone. Think about being in a small town funeral home before this funeral home business, before there was call forwarding, call answering machines. Listen, we got the first answering machine to ever hit our county, and you needed six pallbearers to get that thing in the house. It was a huge deal. We were glad to have it, I can tell you that, because it gave us a little freedom. But, yeah, we would answer the phone. As a kid, I was trained that we had a phone. That one phone we had was in the hall of our house, in a little cubby hole in the hall. And some of you will remember that you had one phone, kept it in the hall. And we had another phone on the desk at the funeral home that was a block away. We had one phone number, and I was trained as a kid when that phone rang, I had to answer it, Goddard Funeral Home, at home. If I said hello, I'd get slapped. That's the truth. And I remember vividly sitting on the floor in the hall on the floor talking on that black rotary dial telephone one day, and mama, daddy, one walked by and slapped me kind of on the back, said, Bruce, get off the phone. Somebody may be dead. And Lord have mercy. I can't talk on the phone. So we couldn't even stay on the phone. But yeah, we had, Miss Jessie was her name. She was a wonderful, wonderful lady. I could talk all day about her, but she couldn't hear very good. And but sometimes she would answer the phone. And I think probably the story you're talking about is when mom and daddy were going to go eat dinner with Dr. Watley and Rosemary. They lived next door. They were best friends. And daddy asked Miss Jessie, would she answer the phone? And if write down the name of who called and the phone number and then come next door to Dr. Watley's house to get him. I heard all that. I was really young, but I knew what they were doing, and I knew the phone rang when they were gone. And I remember that. And I remember she didn't write anything down, but daddy told this story. She went next door to get daddy, and she said, Ed, somebody's dead. And she said, well, did you get, who is it? And she said, well, to tell you the truth, they were upset. He said, well, did you didn't get the name of who died? I said, no, I'm sorry. They were upset. I said, did you get the phone number? I said, Ed, to tell you the truth, when they got upset, I got upset. He said, you mean to tell me that somebody's passed away and they've called our funeral home to come, the family's called our funeral home to come get them, and you didn't get the name or the phone number of who it is? She said, well, Ed, you and Dr. Watley right here, but don't y'all know somebody around here that's been low sick? They had to travel all over town trying to figure out this. You know, that reminds me of another story.
Well, hold that other story, because we got to take a break. A view from the hearse. You're getting a view from the hearse from Bruce Goddard. More stories. You're going to be blown away. We're taking you inside the world of the funeral service, and we're talking to a Christian undertaker, and no, that's not an oxymoron. This guy loves Jesus, and he speaks all over the country. He goes places that a preacher can't even get into and shares about Christ, and he's got more stories. What about golf? What about the family story? What about speaking all over the country? Wait till you hear more from Bruce Goddard, some bizarre stories, view from the hearse. After this, hang on, more Truth Talk is coming up. Don't forget about our Truth Talk podcast. Learn all about us. Follow me on social media at Stu Epperson, Instagram. We've got Facebook. I'm there, too. Please reach out, and you'll meet Bruce there, too, because we're going to load all this stuff up there so everyone can be encouraged, and make sure you get a copy or multiple copies of all of his books. More coming up right after this. I want to say a special thank you to a wonderful partner helping us advance the message of this program of the gospel. And the thank you goes out to MyPillow.com. Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has now opened his heart to say thank you as well. He wants to give you the opportunity to do what I've done. I've slept on this pillow. I love MyPillow. I sleep better. What would you give for a good night's sleep? Right now, for the first time, you can get deep discounts on all the MyPillow products. I'm talking about the MyPillows, the mattress toppers, the bed sheets, and the body pillow. All their products right now, all you got to do is go to mypillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials. Mypillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and you'll save big. You won't believe the savings. Just enter promo code TRUTH when you get there. All these products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You can also call this toll-free number, 800-944-5396. Thank you, MyPillow, for partnering with us to advance the good news of the gospel. And thank you to all you guys that have checked them out and supported our sponsors. Anybody ever ridden in a hearse? That's right. It's what they use to take the deceased from point to point. Well, the man on with me right now on our show, our special guest, Bruce Goddard, has written a book called View from a Hearse. And he knows a lot. In fact, Bruce, are you second or third generation in the funeral business?
I'm actually fourth generation, and I have a son that's fifth, so no, I'm fourth. Kidding.
Isn't that something? The Goddard family funeral legacy has continued, and what got your family into undertaking? And what can you be a Christian and an undertaker at the same time?
You know, I think I've come to find out that undertakers are either Christians or they're drunks. When you deal with the stuff we deal with every day,
wow,
you see life from a different perspective, and you have to figure out how to live. And some people, it's hard. You usually at one extreme to the other, and that's the truth.
Yes, sir. And I tell you, and your stories really do grip me. And what I love too is you're talking about you're here. You are burying dear close friends, neighbors, parents, grandparents of kids you grew up with, lifelong friends. I think of the two brothers that you talk about that were just close, the twins. And they were just, you know, in one thought one was going to die, the other one died sooner, you know, with a kidney failure. And you're there, you are with them, and you're. What's it like to be on the end? I mean, I've gone to funerals. You know, as a believer, I've preached at funerals, I've served as a pallbearer, I've been there to, and I always try to share the Lord. I always try to love and just be there, just listen. I mean, the best advice I ever got is shut up. You know, when your people are hurting. Mm. But what's it like to be on the inside? To be the administrator, the actual head of the mortuary or the undertaker or the funeral director, Bruce Goddard, as you have been and your family has been for all these generations. What's that like in the faith particle, the faith component of that?
Well, it's one thing you said is very true. I'm very careful not to give my, you know, ram my Christianity down people's throat at a vulnerable time. But I think over time you build a reputation of living out the principles of this Christian life by always doing the right thing, by being completely honest. And, you know, you end up when you really, and you said something there, and it's really true, when a lot of times I'm waiting on a family, they have tears in their eyes and I have tears in my eyes. Because I know them, I've loved them all my life, and it is very interesting to sit on that side of the desk. And the other side, it's a business. I mean, I'm certainly as a ministry, but it's also a business. I have to pay the bills, so I have to charge for people's funeral. You should sit there one day, and when some granddaddy's backed over their grandchild, and you have to say, "This is what you owe me," and especially in a small town where you know everybody forever. Yeah. So it's a unique thing. And, you know, it's, you build relationships through all that most people don't ever get to build. I mean, the truth is I probably know the connection between families. I've got deeper relationships because I walk through things with people at a very rough time in their life. And boy, they never forget it.
Wow.
They never forget it. People still chase you down. When something happens.
But it still gets kind of crazy when the young person is instructed to sing a song, but they got the song mixed up, terribly mixed up, in one of your stories. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, so that really didn't happen to me. That's the Jingle Bells story you're talking about.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Whoa. I mean, there's this book is chock full. I just couldn't believe. I just kept reading that. I needed your book. Yeah. Let me tell you why I needed your book, because I've been reading books, awesome books on theology, on Christians and politics, just a lot of heavy stuff. And then all of a sudden, your boy Luke, who's amazing, who brought us together, who's a social media star, has his own swag. He's a hilarious guy. And he gets me in touch with you. You send me your books. I start reading. I'm like, wow, thank the Lord. A merry heart doeth good like the medicine. And even the Jingle Bell story is an example of that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, can you imagine going to a funeral when they're supposed to be singing Golden Bells, and they sing Jingle Bells in South Georgia in August when it's 100 degrees and people with the fans waving, and they sing and Dashing Through the Snow. And, the crazy things happen. I mean, I've been to funerals when the man's name was Mr. White and the preacher was calling him Mr. Smith in the Smith family. There wasn't a Smith in the building. I had to go stop him. Yeah, that's some crazy things happen.
Wow. And you talk about it, and the way you handled it, there's so much grace in here. These quick, pithy proverbs, really. And of course, your ultimate agenda as a believer in Christ is to point people to God. But you get into this mess of death. I mean, I can't think of anything more difficult and challenging and trying, to shine the light of Christ in the context of death and dying in a family that's just devastated. And I guess you found yourself there, and even your wife stepped in to help you. And your whole family's your whole family has gotten involved. You're on the golf course with your pops, and the phone in the golf course rings, and you got to stop the round of golf.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's when we got the new answering machine. That was the message on the daddy would put on the machine. This is Ed Goddard of Goddard Funeral Home, and this is a telephone answering device. I'll be away from this phone shortly this afternoon. However, I'll be at the Reynolds Golf Course. And that numbers. So they would call the golf course, and the guy running the golf course would come out and get us when something happened or get him. And sometimes I'd be with him. But, yeah, it's small-town funeral business or something.
And what was your commentary when they looked at you and said, what's going on? What would you say?
What's that now?
When they looked at you and they come running after your dad to say you got a phone call, what would you tell them? And just what does that indicate had just happened?
Yeah, somebody's dead, and Daddy, I'll go with you. But we thought somebody was dead. And the interesting story that I think I put in the book that you're talking about is that one time that happened, and I went with Dad back to the pro shop, and he went in to talk on the phone, and it was Mr. Strickland who had called, and Dr. Water was playing golf with us, and he said something probably happened to Miss Strickland. I knew she'd been sick or whatever. Daddy talked on the phone a little bit, and he came back out, and he started to play golf again. I was taking my golf shoes off. I was going to go with him, and I said, did something happen to Miss Strickland? He said, no, that was Mr. Strickland for sure, but he said he bought some bacon in the store last week, and he noticed today's date was on it, and he wanted to know if it'd be all right if he ate it. I said, Daddy, you probably ought to change the message. So we had the grocery store. And originally, the funeral home was behind the meat market at the grocery store.
Wow.
And then we built a new funeral home, but we still had the grocery store.
Wow.
So people would call that funeral home number and get us off the golf course to see if the bacon was all right to eat.
Isn't that
so? Wow. I said, Dad, you really need to change the message on that answering machine.
Unbelievable. Well, we're going to get more View from a Hearse from Bruce Goddard. That's the title of his first book. His second book is The Legacy of Ulan Brown. We're going to meet Ulan Brown, and this will be a remarkable story you won't want to miss. Additionally, we're going to talk about more about golf, more about finishing well, and something, an article that was placed in one of Bruce Goddard's family's close friend's coffin at his death. You'll want to hear that. We're going to ask Bruce how he came to know the Lord as his Savior and give him some closing thoughts when we come back on Truth Talk with Stu Epperson. Hang on.
Struggling with road rage?
Staying on the highway with the Christian Car Guy.
Here's Dr. Driving on Road Rage from last week's show.
We need to change basically our attitude. Instead of seeing driving as a competitive field where battle is going on and territoriality emotions are expressed and defended, namely, driving is a coordinated activity among many drivers. It's a teamwork.
Could that other driver be your neighbor?
Staying on the highway with the Christian Car Guy. For more tips, go to ChristianCarGuy.com.
All right, friends, it's inevitable. We know those two things you got to do, right? Death and taxes. Of course, some of us hate taxes more than the other. But, you know, the last guy they say to let you down is the Undertaker. Well, he's on the phone with me right now. Bruce Goddard is on Truth Talk. I'm Stu Epperson. And this guy is hilarious. He speaks. How many times do you speak, Bruce, on average? I know you're hitting the retirement mark right now, but
yeah,
you just started.
I backed into speaking, and I've been doing it for 25 years. For many years, I spoke 100 times a year while working full time.
Wow.
In the funeral business, and that's another story. My funeral business life expanded, but 100 times a year. Then I started going to further places. I think my wife told me, we looked it up. I've spoken in 38 states. So I've gotten around in Canada, Mexico. But yeah, I've never advertised it. I've never done anything but just go somewhere and somebody else invite me to speak. So I've been around, but now not as much. I go to further places. Of course, this COVID thing, I'm not speaking at all. I actually spoke to a group in Connecticut whatever you call it.
The Zoom
webinar,
calls? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Zoom calls.
Video,
yeah,
yes, sir. Okay.
The other day. I've never done that before. That was interesting. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm not speaking as much, but in further away places, not any since this COVID thing.
Well, let me ask you about that. Tell us real quick, and I want to ask you about your Christian testimony, but tell us real quick, how did you become such a prolific speaker? I mean, here you are, a successful Undertaker. You've got a general store. You're venturing into the furniture business, raising a family. You got a house on the golf course, and all of a sudden, you're speaking all over the place. Where did this gift come from? And how did you back into it? It's just fascinating.
Yeah, so I was asked to speak as a undertaker, the local undertaker to the County Ministerial Association banquet. And I thought, what in the world am I? I knew them all. The wives were going to be there. And so I did that, and I decided to tell funny stories. Most of them were about them. And they laughed so hard. And I said, that was fun. Somebody else asked me to do it. And I said, I need to share my faith a little bit. And so I added that the next time. And it just exploded. And I think, I don't care what you do. If you do it enough, you get better. So I feel comfortable speaking. It's not like I have notes when I speak. I don't have to prepare because I've done it. You think I've spoken thousands of times, and I've got a lot of material, and a lot of material continues to be added as I live life. So, yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, I guess I had a gift that God had given me. I didn't know it. And you start using it, and God opens up doors. I do know that you'll never do what God wants you to do unless you're willing to step out on a limb. And I can remember some limb stepping out events, big events. When I go on the stage the first time without a note, and I'm thinking, my goodness, if God don't come through, I'm sunk. And so when he does come through, you start stepping out more.
Wow.
And your faith grows, and God uses you. You know, you got to be willing to walk out on the limb.
I've been
some limb walking. I'm a limb walking guy.
He's a limb walking undertaker, written a book called View from a Hearse, subtitle Lightened Up. He is Bruce Goddard. Hang out with this guy. You'll be belly laughing. You'll be crying, but you'll also see someone who's real, who's genuine, who loves the Lord. Yeah. He's written a sequel to his book, View from a Hearse, called The Legacy of Ulan Brown. I want to meet Ulan in just a second. Quickly tell us how you met Christ, Bruce, and what Jesus has done to change your life, and how your Christian faith has really the heart of all of this stuff.
Yeah, it is. So I grew up in a Christian home, and I went to University of Georgia. And of course, as a lot of people do, I rebelled from all that. But on October 18th of 1978, in a supernatural instant, Jesus Christ invaded my life. And I've never been the same. I certainly have never been perfect, but I've never been the same. And I begin to understand that it's not about me. It's about God and his grace and what he's done for me. And I begin to see that. And it's not about keeping a bunch of rules and regulations and a checkbox. It's about God living in me and doing in me what I could not do by myself. And I've had a wonderful journey. My track in life is not, I love to speak in churches. I've spoken in a ton of churches, but I'm much more comfortable in a corporate environment. I don't know if comfortable is the word, but certainly more dynamic in a corporate environment where I'm very careful, but I don't cram my Christianity down people because I keep getting invited to go to these things that are not Christian events. But I'm able to share faith in a world that desperately needs it. So that's been my niche. And so, God has been great to me. I got a wonderful wife. I've been married for 43 years this past July. We got 3 kids, 9 grandchildren. My wife had a lot to do with me becoming a Christian when I did. She was very godly. And so it's a long story, but it's a great story.
That is something else. What a cool story. Let me ask you this, just kind of extemporaneously here. I was on the. I'm Stu Epperson. This is Truth Talk. Special guest Bruce Goddard. His book View from a Hearse is a must read. You'll be laughing and crying all the way through. Just a real solid book, but in real quick pithy proverbs and real cool lessons in life. Great for the corporate context. Great for church people who take themselves too seriously for Pete's sake. But Bruce, I was on the phone with an atheist yesterday, and he cussed me pretty good and hung up on me. And all I said is, I admire your faith, man. It takes a lot of faith to believe what you believe. And of course, wanted to get in the gospel. And I wasn't mean, and I'm not mad at him, and actually texted him after that. But he said something to me that kind of threw me off my rocker. He said, I've never met a Christian who's happy. They're the most miserable people in the world. What do you say to a guy like that? I mean, here you are, a businessman, successful in the funeral business, which is you've seen death up close more than just about anybody I know. What do you say to an atheist who says, I've never seen a happy Christian?
Well, I've seen a lot of unhappy Christians myself.
Wow.
Yes, I can see where he's coming from. I'm certainly just all y'all can tell you is follow me around and see if I'm unhappy. I've got a wonderful life. I live it to the fullest. I'm certainly blessed, and I don't live my life unhappy. I can tell you that. Yeah. So, and you know, that, I think a lot of unhappy people that are, you know, trying to live by the law and check every box and trying to live within whatever, you know, and they miss out on what God's trying to do. So probably what he said is true. He probably does know some unhappy Christians. I certainly do. Yeah.
It doesn't mean that the faith isn't going to collide with conflict. And even in the case of what you deal with and have dealt with for years,
death.
I mean, here you are bearing, the wife of a man. They've been married 30, 40, 50 years. Here you are bearing a child. I mean, you talked about some pretty rough, pretty grisly situations where I don't know if you didn't have the Lord, you wouldn't have gotten through it. You even said so in your book.
There's no question. And so, you know, the truth is there's nothing in the Bible that says we're not going to have trouble. When I hear a preacher or somebody teaching that if you're a Christian, you're not going to have trouble, I take a brick and throw it through the TV to get it off if I have to, because that's not true.
Wow.
There is a lot in the Bible written to people who are going through trouble. Jesus himself said, we will have trouble. He didn't say you might. He said we would.
Yeah.
Trouble is part of life, and being in the funeral business is one piece of that. It's not, you know, losing a loved one is a tough thing, but I can tell you a lot of people go through stuff worse than that.
Wow.
And there's so much in the Bible written in this world, you will have trouble, and about people going through trouble. So
yes, sir.
It's part of it. It's not a perfect life, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's the voice of Bruce Goddard, the author of the book View from a Hearse. We're probably going to make this a two-part podcast because I'm going to ask him a quick question to wrap up, and then we're going to stay on and do some bonus coverage because there's a couple other stories you have to hear. So please download the podcast download this whole broadcast if you're not able to hear it in real time, or if you just jumped on whatever station. Maybe you're listening to one of the AFR awesome affiliate stations that carries Truth Talk. Maybe you're listening to The Truth up and down Jacksonville, and maybe you're listening in South Carolina, wherever you're listening, Utah. Our wonderful friends at KUTR, AM 820, 95.3 FM. This program is also available on a podcast. Just Google Truth Network Podcast or go wherever podcasts are. Bruce Goddard, an interesting object was placed in the coffin of a close family friend. I do believe you shed some tears, but there were also some big smiles. But this guy had this object placed in his coffin, or you all did it, and it signified something powerful about, you know, not how we start or not, you know, all that, but how we finish. Can you talk quickly about him, the golf course, and the consummation of that event at his funeral, which was the conference situation?
Yeah, so Wade Lane, his son just died recently in Chicago, and I was in touch with him. But he was my dad. He's one of his best friends. I play golf with them all the time. I'd hit the ball a mile. They would hit it 200 yards back in those days. But Wade would be behind on the drive, but he could putt like a wild man. And I've never seen anybody putt like him. And he was, I always remember that it's not how you drive, it's how you arrive. He said it a million times. So I'd hit it 300 yards and he beat me on the hole. It's not how you drive. So when he died, I don't have time to go into it, but I was over there. My dad was there. I saw tears in my dad's eyes. You just have to be in a small town. And I don't know how many hours we spent together with this man, and he's dead. Daddy's still alive. And I get over to the funeral home, and I'm actually in the prep room, and I'm doing the embalming process on my friend. At the back door of the funeral home, somebody knocked on it, and I got somebody to answer it. And I took my apron and took all my stuff off and went out. It was his son. And who I knew very well, and he said, will you do me a favor? Will you bury this putter with my dad? Mm-hmm. And so I said, yes. And so I did. And the putter that, you know, I've seen that putter how many years? It's the same putter he had all my life. So the lesson that hit me at somewhere doing that funeral, and boy, that is true in life. Many people start off and we make bad mistakes. We do stupid stuff. We suffer the consequences of the stuff, and we think our life is over. And we get this mentality that we do not measure up because people are hitting it 300 yards and we're hitting it 180. And the lesson is, for all of us, it's not how you drive, man, it's how you arrive.
Wow.
And as long as you're breathing, you got an opportunity to keep moving forward, to do the right next thing, and watch God do things that you never thought possible. And so what a great lesson for my friend. And I that was never mentioned at his funeral. I was thinking it the whole time, and I ended up writing about it, and I've told that story many times. So that's kind of an abbreviated version.
That is so cool. People go to your Facebook page, Bruce Goddard. They can watch the little video you did. And, of course, your friend has a cool Bible verse on his tombstone. I mean, just some real faith components in there. You think about the words of Christ that we all can't wait to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Not well done, good and famous servant. And how are we planning on finishing well? How are we walking, trusting him to leave a mark? And to maybe some of us need to quit focusing on the driving so much and focus on the arriving, focus on the putting, the short game, you know, doing the little things right.
That's another piece of that. It's not just the people that have messed up that you need to arrive, but the people that have done well and lived, and you still have to finish. Don't ever quit. I mean, wait till you make the last putt.
That's awesome.
Never over. There's another opportunity in the rising when you, and maybe you think you've done all you can do in the Christian realm. You're not done till you're done.
And we haven't talked about Euland Brown. We'll do that next time. We'll have you back on again to talk about Euland Brown, and we'll make that another podcast because that book is powerful. And we talked about some of those stories here. Bruce Goddard, get his books, learn more about him. Bruce, what's the main website you send people to get your book, View from a Hearse, Lighten Up, or The Legacy of Euland Brown, a hardback book by Bruce Goddard? What's the best way folks can learn about
you? You can go to just brucegoddard.com.
Okay. That's G-O-D-D-A-R-D and B-R-U-C-E. And if a guy's got God in his name, you better read his stuff and you better check him out, right? I mean, that's a big endorsement. But what a great man of God. What encouraging. Your son Luke's amazing. Your whole family. I've gotten to know you through social media. But what an impact you're having on the kingdom. Thanks for being on with us, man. What a treat to have you. And we're gonna have you stay tuned. We'll have you again on for The Legacy of Euland Brown.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. That was great. That was much fun. Thank you.